Rodgers in trouble. It's going to get there. He turned 32 yesterday. Does he have a vintage moment in it? In the end zone, it is caught for the win. Richard Rodgers with a walk-off touchdown. A game ender for the Packers.
Welcome to The Big Lead. I'm Ryan Glasspiegel. We are joined with Brandi Rhodes, who is a wrestler for Ring of Honor, which has five shows coming up this month in Florida, Texas, and Oklahoma. And it was just announced last week that Brandi will be a cast member on the upcoming season of WAGS Atlanta on E!, which debuts in January. Brandi, so tell me about your participation as a wrestler in these Ring of Honor shows and the Women of Honor division in general.
Okay, well, hey guys, I don't think we got to say hello yet, so I'll just say hello. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. We have, like you said, Ring of Honor has quite a rollout of shows this month. Things are a little bit different for Women of Honor than they are for actual Ring of Honor. They're kind of separate entities at this point. So I'll definitely be participating in the upcoming shows in Florida. There's one in Fort Lauderdale coming up on Saturday, and then we go to Lakeland on Sunday. And so for Fort Lauderdale, I'll definitely be competing. I'll be in action. And then at Lakeland, I will have a signing, which will be cool. Just getting to interact with some fans and kind of have a good time. So I preface you by saying things are different for Women of Honor than they are for the regular roster of ROH, because we are more show to show as far as, you know, all the way right now, they know all the way in Oklahoma, they're definitely going to be seeing Cody. For Women of Honor, it's not that rolled out, so you don't know that far in advance what shows we're going to be doing. So I'm only able to speak on that I'll definitely be at Florida, but I do not know about Texas and Oklahoma yet.
It seems to stand to reason that, like, in the coming years, that's a division that they're going to build up more, right?
Yeah, I mean, they've been working hard on the Women of Honor's division from day one. The thing that makes Women of Honor unique is, they did it very, ROH is very old school style in that you have to earn your keep for everything. So they didn't think it would make sense to just throw a bunch of women on the show that they knew and say, hey, these are the women, this is the women's division of our show. They kind of said, if you guys want to have a division, you're going to have to grow it and contour it and make it its own thing. So the girls who've been there for a long time, they've been working on it, like girls like Mandy and Kelly, for a very long time, trying to make it have a name for itself. And it's really coming into its own. It's definitely growing now. As the girls have been able to prove there's a fan base and people really want to see it and they want to continue to see it grow. It's been allowed to grow. So hopefully it'll continue growing. And I expect that in 2018, you'll see a lot of growth and some changes, and we're looking forward to that.
Do you know who you're going to be wrestling in Fort Lauderdale?
I believe I am wrestling in Fort Lauderdale.
No, I meant, do you know who your opponent is?
No, I do not know that yet, no.
Okay.
I'm expecting we'll find that out this week.
What has the process been like being training to be an in-ring performer over the last year or so versus the role you had at your previous company where you were a ring announcer and a behind-the-scenes interviewer?
So training hasn't been much of a transition. I've been training since I was hired into the wrestling business. I started training at FCW when it was Florida Championship Wrestling. My training has been sporadic, sure, but I'm no stranger to being in the ring and training.
Okay. And I read that you were a competitive figure skater for many, many years growing up. Has that experience helped you with your training for the wrestling ring?
Sure. My experience as a skater was very helpful in that discipline is key in figure skating. Like I said, I've skated for 17 years. I was a top competitor back in my day. I trained before school. I got out of school early to train all the way into the evening. I think I was at the arena more days than I was actually at school, or more hours a day than I was actually at school. So, you know, you learn a certain discipline by being in a sport that's that involved. And, of course, discipline definitely can take you places in the wrestling business. It's definitely something that you have to plug at. You can't just walk in the door. And even if you do just walk in the door and things happen for you, they won't always be that way. So you have to develop a sense of, I guess, routine with it, where you work hard consistently no matter what's going on.
The Bullet Club, which splits their time between Ring of Honor and New Japan, and Cody's a member of the Bullet Club, I can't remember a time in the last 15 years that there's been any entity like this that has caught on outside of WWE in terms of, like, America's consciousness into pro wrestling. Is it pretty unbelievable for you to have kind of a front row seat for how much momentum that group has right now?
It's definitely not unbelievable to me. It's a great, great group of talented people, and that's really all you need. It's a recipe for success, and I'm not surprised in the slightest. I'm expecting much more from the group, and I hope people are too.
As we mentioned in the introduction, you're going to be on the cast of WAGS Atlanta on E! What type of plot lines can we expect?
You know, I can't give too much away because obviously, you know, I want people to watch the show. But one thing that you can expect is I know that a lot of fans for many years have wanted to see more of what me and Cody's life is like. What the actual, they obviously know we're very busy, but what the day-to-day is like, what do we do when we're not on the road? What is it like when we are on the road? That type of stuff. And I'm hoping you guys will get to take a good look at that and see what that dynamic is like. And also just a little bit of our personalities. I feel like people know Cody's personality really well. I don't think people know my personality at all. So I think it'll be fun for them to get to know me as more than just a talking head and a smiling face.
You once said that your first date with Cody was at a Waffle House, and your second date, which I think you thought went way better, was at a Cracker Barrel. Do you have any memories of those times?
Oh, of course. Of course. You know, when you're on the road and you're in cities like, you know, Biloxi, Mississippi, you don't exactly have Ruth's Chris to work with. So you work with what you have. You know, I'm a northern girl from Michigan. You know, I had never been to Waffle House until I started traveling. And Waffle House is good. It's fine. If somebody ever says to me, hey, you want to go to Waffle House, I'm never going to turn my nose up at that. But it's great because, you know, it goes to show, I guess, people that, you know, all of the glitz and glamour that they think is involved in being on television or being in a professional sport, sometimes you just got to get down to basic grassroots and do what you got to do to have a meal.
But I'm interested because you're on the road and you mentioned that, like, in some of these destinations, there aren't a lot of really, like, local cuisine that you might be able to get in a cosmopolitan setting. But part of being in the professional wrestling business is really staying in tip-top shape and condition. How do you balance a proper diet with the fact that you, A, want to eat something that you might be familiar with, but B, there isn't a whole lot of healthy options in every new city?
Yeah, no, that's true. Honestly, you just have to plan ahead. A lot of us bring food with us on the road. The invention of that six-pack bag was the truth for most of us, because a lot of us will take, you know, the meal prep bags, and we order meal prep, or we pick them up in our city, and you're able to travel with those, and they're able to last you for the whole day because of the way that they're packaged. So, you know, you plan ahead. If you have the ability to, you take your own meals. If you don't, there's always bars and shakes and things like that that you can take with you on the road to, you know, make sure things don't get completely out of control. That's really the best way to manage it. Otherwise, yeah, you will end up, you know, shows end at, you know, 11, 12 o'clock in a smaller city. There's nothing open except for McDonald's. So you will end up stepping places like that. And I mean, if you have to, you just make the best choices that you can there. I know nobody's favorite thing to do at Wendy's or McDonald's is to get a salad, but sometimes you have to do what you have to do.
So when Dusty unfortunately passed a little while ago, everybody really knew his contributions to the business from a performer perspective, but I was really surprised, not really surprised, but I learned how much he meant to everybody who had come up through NXT and learned under him when he was a trainer there. And I was wondering if you have any specific memories of him that aren't public everywhere, that of a time where it might've seemed like a really little deal to him, but it was a big deal to you, how he helped you out as a performer, something of that nature.
I mean, I've been pretty public with a lot of my experiences with my father-in-law. We had a great relationship. We had a lot of fun together, especially the little bit of time I spent at the PC with him. But, you know, I was just always very impressed with how instantly I became not Dusty's daughter-in-law, but his daughter. He treated me like absolute part of the family. There was no, you know, fine line of, you know, oh, well, she's just my daughter-in-law. No, it was all, and it's like that with all of us, all of his extended family, you're his actual family. So, I mean, anything, I was actually very careful not to give him too much information if there was something I was unhappy with or anything like that, because I know he would have gone full court press and made whatever case for me that I needed him to make. But I, you know, of course, I didn't want to abuse anything like that. So a lot of times I just kept to myself. But anytime I ever said to him, I mean, I remember one time saying to him, I wasn't going to ring announce a show, and I guess they brought my name up, and he said, no, absolutely not. She's not doing it. She's here to do this. We're not putting her in that, you know. And I said, hey, you don't have to go that hard on it. It was, you know, it's every suggestion, we'll see it one at a time, you know. But yeah, he was the best. He's absolutely like that for everybody that he saw potential in. And that's why so many people are so fond of him and miss him so dearly.
Returning to your experiences with wrestling, you had a show in this past December at Wrestling Magic, and Cody was facing, or you got kidnapped by Joey Ryan, and there was a spot where Cody wound up kicking you in the face because somebody was holding you ducked. How do you plan something like that in advance?
You definitely don't plan anything like that in advance. You don't. You know, it's, I don't know. You don't plan things like that in advance. You just go with what feels right. And in the moment, I'm gung-ho for most things. So it's, and I'm actually a lot more reliable, I think, than people think. So, you know, it's just a feeling and crowd, and, I like to have fun, and things like that are fun to me.
Wow. So something like that comes up organically. It's not something that you all discuss in the back as maybe a culmination spot in a given match?
No. I think it's more of a chemistry thing, for sure. Absolutely, for sure. There are some situations in which you know what you're dealing with, and you know, who you're working with and you're comfortable. In those situations, especially with my husband, I trust immensely everything that we're doing. So, yeah, it, especially with pros like Cody and folks like Joey, it's easy for things like that to just kind of come together organically, for sure.
And, okay, so this is going to be a general question, and I don't want to sound like I'm insulting any individuals, but there are a lot of times where somebody comes up from NXT and they're really red hot in WWE, like going into WWE, but maybe like 4 or 5 months down the road, they haven't really been adding to their repertoire, and some of the stories that are being written for them, it's not really advancing their character. And all of a sudden, they lose a lot of the momentum that they had coming up. How much of that do you attribute to the like individual rigors of just having to travel so much and always being on a rigorous schedule versus maybe some of the creative writing? They focus on some people and allow some of the others to really not grow there.
Oh, honestly, I really can't speak on any of that at all. When I worked with NXT and, you know, that company, I worked in a completely different role. So for me to speak on something like that would just be silly jibber jabber. I'm sure there's somebody who can speak on that, but it's not me.
Is there anything that we didn't discuss that you think is really important and you want to talk about right now?
No, just that I'm very excited about what's going to happen with WAGS and everybody. I would love for them to watch. The premiere is going to be January 3rd, and we're all very excited.
Thank you so much for your time. That's Brandi Rhodes. She's going to be at Ring of Honor this Saturday in Fort Lauderdale. WAGS Atlanta debuts on E! On January 3rd. Thank you again, Brandi. Best of luck with everything.
All right, thank you guys.
All right, bye.
Familiar touch turns stranger.